My name's Shane, and I can't really tell you how happy I am to get to be with you guys, and how honored I am that I get a chance to talk with you from time to time. It is a real treat. Now, if over these last few weeks, as Matt and with you all have wrestled with faith and doubt, and maybe last week you made a pretty much 100% commitment without 100% certainty, and you let go of the trapeze, and you're trusting in the catcher with unsweaty hands, the talk that I'm going to do this morning is a good one for you. I'm very excited to share this stuff with you because I think it's going to help us, because I've found it helping me in pushing some of those ideas out into the edges of my life and my body and my experience with Christ. So I'm excited to get to share this stuff with you. Now, I have maybe two or three exercises I'm going to ask you to do over the course of the next few minutes. And don't fret, you don't have to talk to anybody else. It's just like in your head kind of exercises. And I'm not going to have you turn them in, so you're good in that sense. But here's the first thing I want you to think about. I want to ask you a question. Imagine that between now and Christmas, you have a sum of money and you have a set of hours, a certain amount of time to which you can devote to gaining a new skill or picking up some capacity or engaging in some kind of activity. You've got some time and you've got some money to do something new, to learn something. Does that make sense? Now think for a minute, what would you do if you were given that opportunity? You got some time, you got some money between now and Christmas to invest in learning. Something come into mind? Now, I don't really care. It doesn't matter so much what it is that comes to your mind. As long as it's legal, you know, if cooking meth, I'm going to get good at that. You know, don't do that. But, and, you know, whatever legal, you know, for me, maybe learning to ride a horse. That would be a good thing. I know the basics, but, you know, horses see me coming and they know, oh, here we go. You know, whatever it is, walk the Appalachian Trail, get a pilot's license, grow an epic mustache for Movember. You know, just imagine you've got that. Now, if you had that kind of opportunity to do something like that, what is it going to take for that to come about? What is it going to take? I assume that there are at least three things it's going to take. It's going to take purpose. You're going to have a reason, some kind of motivation. It's going to take a plan, and it's going to take practice. Can you see that practice? I have this compulsion to use up every inch of the screen, regardless of whether or not you can actually see what's on there. But it says practice down at the bottom. If you're going to carry out this new thing that you're going to learn, it's going to take purpose, plan, and action. Now, the thing that I want to share with you this morning, because I have something in mind for us to learn, to gain over the next few weeks. Now, here's what it is. What if we were to grow in our capacity to be aware of the presence of God in our lives? What if we gained a new skill or gained a new ability to remain aware of God's presence? That's what I want us to think about today. Now, maybe you have heard this talked about in terms of practicing the presence of God. And it's a spiritual discipline, although I'm hesitant to say that because, but what if we were going to do that? What if we began to think, how can I be cognizant of God with me on an ongoing day-to-day basis? Now, question number two. I want you to think to some time in your life when you've had a sense of nearness with God. And I'm not thinking so much the day after church camp, if that's part of your history. You know, this mountaintop experience is so great and wonderful. And then you lie to your mom and say, oh, it's all terrible again. Not so much that emotional sort of thing, but a sense maybe that, hey, this whole Christian thing, it's in sync. It works. I like it. When your doubt's kind of ebbing and your faith is kind of growing, think of a time like that in your life. Now, for some of you, perhaps there is no time like that in your life because you're here kind of checking things out. Now, that's totally fine. You're welcome here. If you go, was God ever close to me? I don't, never. If that's your situation, let me tell you, God is very happy and would like to be close to you, and you are welcome into what God is doing. Now, I'd love to talk, if you know God's calling you into that, I'd love to talk with you as we wrap up this morning. But if you've had some experience with God, think of a time when you felt particularly close to God. Now ask yourself this. What keeps that from happening all the time? What keeps that sense of God's presence from being normal? Because we've got some stuff in the Bible that would maybe indicate that there is some constancy and some all the timeness. Let's just fly through some of these passages. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We take captive every thought to make it obedient. We always are giving thanks. But this is a righteous man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He gets no break. Rejoice in the Lord. Always, Paul says, Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 71, declaring your splendor all day long. And then Paul says, pray continually. Now, my tendency has been, and I suspect our tendency is generally, to view these kind of verses as hyperbole. But what if? What if it's not as hyperbolic as we think, but it is more like, yeah, actually live this way? Is it just nuts? Is it crazy to think about that? To think about our minds and our lives being shaped like that? There's this guy. Anybody know this guy? Frank Laubach. Frank Laubach was a missionary in the last century now, the early 1900s. He died about 1970. He has the distinction, well, he has a long list of distinctions, but the one the picture refers to, he's the only missionary that got his own stamp and some kind of great American series of stamps. I don't know when it was. But, you know, you think, what would 30 cents mail back in his day? A lot. But there's Frank Laubach. And one of the things that Laubach has given us in the body of Christ is a fresh way to think about God in an ongoing way. So he says something like this. He says, can we have that contact with God all the time? All the time awake, fall asleep with him, and awaken in his presence. Can we attain that? Can we do his will all the time? Can we think his thoughts all the time? Now that's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy to imagine that could be, because our brains are these dynamic little whirly things going all the time. Do this for me. This is maybe exercise number 3. Close your eyes. Kind of calm yourself for just a second. Close your eyes and stop thinking. How long did that last, right? How long? Some of us are going, dude, I like that. That's my kind of sermon. Most of us, you can't, you know, you have 5 seconds, and then you're going, this is stupid. Can we get back to the turkey videos? Or you start thinking, whew, I'm pretty good at this not thinking thing. I bet I'm better than everybody in my, I'm thinking, crud. You just can't, because their minds are, whoosh, whoosh. What is it possible you can harness that or catch some of that to bring back to mind, we're the children of God. God is with me. God is doing these things. God, what are you saying to me right now? What are you hoping from me? What are you expecting? Another guy that I'm learning about this from, this guy named Greg Boyd. He's a pastor in Minnesota. He says the key is to stay awake to the reality of God. To stay awake. God is actually doing something. God is present. God is with me. He goes on to say, I become absolutely convinced, and Greg Boyd is a smart guy, so when he says absolutely convinced, it's different from when I say that. This is like serious. He says, I become absolutely convinced that remaining aware of God's presence is the single most important task in the life of every follower of Jesus. Now, I float that out there as something that this guy, he's pastoring a good church, he's written a lot of sharp books, he says some provocative things, he's taken a stand. That's fairly superlative, so I just offer it to you at 75%. This could be an important thing for us to think about. And I think that in part because I'm recognizing it's an important thing for me to think about. And I want to say right at the outset, I am a novice at this. I was thinking about this talk this morning. I thought, this is another one of these talks I do from time to time that could be titled, hey, I read a book, and I just got to share it with you. But whatever reason, God's arranged for me to have to read this book and for you to sit here this morning and let me share it with you. But I am starting off in this journey. Now, I've been trying to follow Jesus for a long time, But this idea of training my mind to bring back the reality of who God is and what he's up to in an ongoing way, I've been at it for about a week. So I am not saying as if I were Brother Lawrence, here's the way my life was shaped over 50 years doing it. I'm saying as a dirt novice, I think this is going to make a difference in my life. And I wonder if for us, it might make a difference. And in the few days that I've been doing this, I found a little bit of success. I found that I am kind of remembering God is at work and God's doing something. God wants to hang out with me. God wants to speak to me. And it's been pretty good. Now, I've experienced that success to whatever degree it is in the context of a week when I'm planning to preach a sermon on practicing the presence of God. So I'm no dummy. I recognize starting tomorrow on is when the test happens. It's not so tough when I'm going, oh, I've got to get this talk right. Oh, yeah, God, that's the whole thing is what it's about. And just in the interest of full disclosure, I have tanked miserably this week. Now, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you. There's something pathetic about snapping and breaking and, you know, yelling at your kids because they're bugging you when you're trying to prepare a sermon. You know, I hope you get to have that experience sometime. And if you want more details, you can ask my kids, but I'd prefer you not. Just leave it at that. But I have this sense that maybe there's something here for us. Let's keep going. So if we want to kind of think about this, move into it, the first thing in our purpose and our plan and our practice, we're going to have some motivation. We're going to have some reason to do this. Now, I'm hoping by the time I finish that you'll go, yeah, I want to try that just because of how freaky that was that he was talking about it and old people have done it and it's been good. But there are some good reasons to do this. Number one thing I want us to think about is what the Bible teaches. Lots of stuff that we get from the Bible saying, maybe this is normal. First off, in Jesus' life, his example, not so much what he said we should do, but what we see him doing and saying himself. He said, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I only do what I see my Father doing. Then later in that same chapter, he says this, I can do nothing on my own. Now, this is Jesus, Son of God, the Messiah, confessing to his accusers, I think in this case, I can't do anything on my own. He had to have this connection, this ongoing interaction with his Father. Laubach says this about Jesus in his working out of these ideas. He says, submission is the first and last duty of man. That is exactly what I've been needing in my Christian life. Although I have been a minister and a missionary for 15 years, I have not lived the entire day of every day in minute-by-minute effort to follow the will of God. 2 years ago, a profound dissatisfaction led me to begin trying to line up my actions with the will of God about every 15 minutes or every half hour. Not bad, not bad to shoot for. He goes on, other people to whom I confessed this intention said it was impossible. I judge from what I have heard that few people are really trying even that. Now I won't ask you to raise your hands, but me, prior to 5 or 6 days ago, I go, well, Laubach, I'm in that camp. I'm not trying that. He said, but this year I have started out trying to live all my waking moments in conscious listening to the inner voice, asking without ceasing, what Father do you desire said? What Father do you desire done this minute? And then he says about Jesus, it is clear that this is exactly what Jesus was doing all day, every day. But it is not what his followers have been doing in very large numbers. So we have Jesus' example. We also have Jesus' teaching. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the, how does that begin? Sorry, I'm the true vine and my Father's the gardener. And let's jump down here to 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, you're familiar with that passage, you're familiar with the Bible at all. But what is Jesus saying there? What does it mean to remain in him or to abide in him? Does it mean don't do bad stuff? Don't go to Mormon churches? You know, what does it mean to, I don't know all of what Jesus is saying here. But I think maybe it's a good start to be training our minds to think about what he is saying and what he's asking of us. Jesus also says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, clothes, food, security, these will be added to you. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom? And how do you do that? Do you just do it like once? I decided I'm seeking first the kingdom. Or do you do that in an ongoing, continual kind of way? And then we have stuff from Paul as well. He tells in 2 Corinthians and in Romans 12 that we are to take every thought captive. Now, because I'm inviting you to train your minds to think about the presence of God, maybe you get a hold of this verse and it starts to make you a little nuts. How I have to review every thought flying past my eyes and go, is this okay or is it bad? Throw it out, keep it. It's not that at all. It's just taking all of these thoughts, submitting them to God. As often as God gives you grace to remember, say, God, these are yours. I submit to you. So we have biblical teaching. We also have this purpose of avoiding functional atheism. Now, this is some thin ice, and so I want to tread carefully here. And again, recognizing my own life, there is a tendency in followers of Jesus, so at least there's a tendency in me, to compartmentalize things. So I've got the part of my life that is God kind of time. Maybe a quiet time in the morning, maybe Sunday morning at church. Now you got men's group if you're a real guy, and maybe you have women's Bible study, you have your small group. And you have these God times, but then you have this other time, which is kind of normal time. And what can happen if we're not careful, if we don't pay attention to that, that normal time, because of the weight of our culture and our society and our own minds, that normal time can be godless time. So somebody looking from the outside, go, well, functionally, I know you say how you believe, say you believe all this stuff, but functionally, you act as if God does not exist. This practice of remembering, bringing to mind the presence of God will give us some counterbalance to functional atheism. And then practical submission. One of the reasons why you do this, because if you're following Jesus, you want to submit to him, and here's a way to do it. My friend Robbie said this. He said, most of the pain I saw in my friends' lives, this was as he began to follow Jesus, was a result of wrong desires. Or maybe it was when he was going to be a Buddhist. I'm not sure. I think it was Jesus. He said, either they want something good too much, they want it so much that they don't leave its fulfillment to God, or they're clinging to something that was clearly in conflict with God's will. I was thus stirred to pray, God, make me to want what you want me to want. God, make me want what you want me to want. This gives us a way to submit, an ongoing kind of way. As we bring back, God is our Lord. We are serving Jesus. God, let me in this moment submit to you. So it helps us in practical submission. A fourth purpose, it helps us live this abundant life that Jesus said is on offer. Remember John 10:10? Thief come to steal and destroy. You don't want what he's offering. I came that you could have abundant life. And I have found in these few days that I've been trying to grow in this, an increase in the sense of abundant life. As I bring to mind, here's who God is, and here's who I am relative to God, and here's some of the things that God's unfolding, and here's what God has in mind for me, and what God thinks about me, that God wants to hang out with me, as audacious as that is. I think there's some opening to abundant life for us in thinking about that. So that's some purpose. That may be some reason to get going. And then for a plan, you know, if we're actually going to do this, maybe we need a way to implement it, to get it going. Now, if you're over 40, this is probably just a couple seconds of this will be enough to burn in to your minds the plan that I want you to go home with. Because if you don't get all of what I'm trying to say, and how really could you, at least I want you to get this REO thing. Got it? If you're under 40... yeah, you don't want to look at these guys today because they're cool today. It's not even pretty. Here's the plan. Remember, enjoy, and obey. Here's the plan for putting into practice an ongoing or a recurring sense of the presence of God in your life. Remember, enjoy, and obey. The challenge for doing this discipline is not doing it, because it's not hard. And you don't have to get hungry doing it, and you don't have to sit in a certain posture doing it, or you don't have to go a certain place. The challenge with this discipline is actually remembering to do it, to put it into action, to recognize again and again, God is with you. Here's something that Laubach says about this. This is the older non-stamp version. Frank Laba. He says, here's what we're trying to do. This is the basic thing. We try to call God to mind, or Jesus to mind, at least 1 second of each minute. Now, because that's just nutso, and you may have never even thought of that before, let me just pause, let that sink in. This is this guy's practice. Call him to mind at least 1 second of each minute. We do not need to forget other things nor stop our work, but we invite him to share everything we do or say or think. Hundreds of people have experimented until they have found ways to let him share every minute that they are awake. In fact, now this gets a, I go, Frank, are you serious? But he's dead, so we can't ask him. But here's what he said. He said, in fact, it is no harder to learn this new habit than to learn the touch system in typing. And in time, one can win a high percentage of his minutes with as little effort as an expert needs to write a letter. Simply remembering, God is here, I'm in God, God wants to commune with me, God wants to direct my steps, God wants to encourage me, God wants to challenge me in things. Bringing that back to our mind. For Laubach, he was aiming for some seconds out of every minute. He started off, he said, I was just looking for maybe like remembering once every 15 minutes or half an hour. Maybe for some of us right now, it's like once a day if it's not Sunday. Sunday's good. I'm covered on Sunday like four times on Sunday. But on other days, maybe. But starting wherever, but bringing to mind, God is at work. God has something he wants to do in me. So that's the first part of the plan, remembering. And this is what's characterized most of my life this week. God will bring to mind, hey, God is my Lord. Hey, I'm God's child. Hey, God can give me the grace to handle this particular moment. Hey, that person that I want to say is a bozo, that's a bozo that Jesus died for. No more a bozo than I'm a bozo. So we remember, number one. Secondly, we enjoy. The reality that God is the one who made it all and he loves us. If you can bring that to your mind consistently, that's going to make a difference in your outlook. Greg Boyd, one of the other guys that a lot of this stuff came to me through, he says, here are some of the things that he tries to bring to mind on a regular basis, some of the things that God thinks about him. I could not possibly be more loved than I am at this very moment. Nothing you do or don't do makes God love you anymore. Now that's a really good gig. That's a good place to be with God. He says, this instant I have unsurpassable worth and infinite significance because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now what Jesus did on the cross demonstrates that that's who we are, unsurpassable worth, infinite significance. He brings to mind, all I really need, I already have in Christ, right here and right now. In this moment, I am submerged in an infinite ocean of God's love and delight for me. And that's been a pretty fun one for me to bring to mind. Over the course of this week, I'm submerged in this ocean of God's love. Now my life is in Christ. Nothing else matters. My life is in Christ. Now, as we engage in this discipline, it's important to realize these are not psychological manipulations trying to think yourself happy. These are things the Bible says about us in Christ. And so we're simply bringing to mind what is true. Now, the third part of the plan, R-E-O, remember, enjoy, and then obey. And let me just say this. Oh, wait, not yet. Boy, that was close. Let me say this. Practice your PowerPoint, young man. The last one, obey. I'm not really at that point, so I'm not going to tell you a lot, but I think we can imagine together that if we're communing with God, if we're calling God to mind, remembering his presence with us multiple times a day, maybe multiple times an hour, chances are good God's going to say, hey, I'd like you to do this right now. The couple times that maybe he's done that for me, I haven't done it. So I have no grounds to tell you, except that I think probably obedience is a key to actually working this out. So it needs to be in there, in that plan. And I'm working on it, and maybe we can work on it together to obey. The title for this talk, if you're like snoozing when that title slide came up, is Tethered Minds Free from Lies. And what this practicing the presence of God does, it tethers our minds to the truth of God in such a way that the lies that we might tell ourselves, that the world might tell us, get pushed out. And we become, in increasing ways, the people of God. So you've got some purpose, hopefully. You got a plan, the REO Speedwagon plan, remember, enjoy, and obey. And then let me just share with you a couple or three quick things to put this into action. and I'll be finished. Some helpful exercises, things to keep in mind. One of the things that I'm trying to do is orient my day to God when I wake up prior to checking email. I don't know how many of you, for some of you, you just go, that is ridiculous. Why do you even have to think that? But if your alarm for the morning happens to be on your phone, you reach to turn your phone, you go, hey, got a Facebook notification. What is it? And I just set that aside for a second. Perhaps God is more important than what's happening on Twitter. So I'm trying to do this, and yeah, some of you are going, I'm never listening to you preach again. I don't blame you. Think about how can you practically remind yourself to do this. If you want to do it, Boyd suggests putting sticky notes in different parts of your life. Maybe in a book you're going to read every 50, 100 pages. Say, wake up. Remember, God wants to speak with you. Call God's presence to mind. Maybe around your house. One of the things I did, this website, lettermelater.com. You can send an email from there, and then it will show up back to you or wherever really you want it to go at whatever time you designate. So because I knew I'm not preaching on this next Sunday, I thought I need to be reminded. So sometime about Wednesday or so, I'm going to get this email going. Not scolding, because you know, maybe you did that at summer camp too. You made these commitments and you failed. And not like that at all, but just, hey, wake up. Remember. If you want to do this, remember, God is waiting to speak. God wants to be with you. And then if I put my email address there, if you want me to send you a reminder, and I'll be really nice about it, and maybe you can reciprocate and send me a reminder, maybe we can do some of this together, just say, we want to be the people of God who are continually calling to mind the truth of God and the presence of God in our lives. And then Laubach advocated this game of minutes. Take a certain time, an episode in your life that's not so complicated, not full, maybe like driving kind of time, and say, for the next 15 or 20 minutes or half an hour, I'm going to see how many of the minutes of these next 15 or 30 that I can remember that I'm a follower of Christ, that I can remember and say, God, what are you doing here? What would you want to say to me right now? That I can call to mind what is really actually true, that God inhabits that car with you. Now, you can see where this could go, right? Yes, 17 out of 20. Sweet, how many did you get? I killed you. Yeah. And we can do that in our heads as well. Some of you are experts at that. This is ahead on the next slide. This is not a contest with you and somebody else. It's not a contest with you and Jesus, and it is certainly not a contest with you and yourself. I'll get to a Laubach quote in a second that illustrates that. Maybe a couple of books I want you to see, because perhaps you think, yeah, maybe this is a good idea, but let me hear about it from somebody who's done it longer than 5 days. Brother Lawrence has been the voice of this throughout much of my generation, probably before. You can get this for 99 cents for a Kindle app. I would encourage you to do that. The Boyd book, Present Perfect, so one that a lot of these thoughts were distilled in. It'll cost you a little more, but still it might be a good thing to think about. Last thing I want you to hear, don't stress about this. Laubach says, if you should forget him for minutes or even days, and who of us hasn't, don't groan, don't repent, but begin anew with a smile. Every minute can be a fresh beginning. This is not a contest. It doesn't qualify you for super spiritual badges or anything like that. It's just a way for us to bring to mind, this is who God is. This is who I am. This is what God wants to do in my life in these days. Don't stress about it. Don't let it become legalistic. And then finally, Laubach says, one may never get to the point where they continually are in God's presence. You may not win all your minutes to Christ, or even half, but you will win a richer life. I'm finding this after 4 or 5 days. As I ask God, remind me who you are. It's like, take steps to remind myself, this is who I am. This is my relationship with the Creator. It's like, tune my ear and say, God, how should I respond in this situation? Let me commend this to you as a novice, a habit, discipline, a grace from God that I think will shape us in wonderful ways to our benefit. Now for Laubach, as he began to practice this, his life went crazy, the stuff that God did through him. God zeroed him in on literacy kind of work. And some 60 million people directly traced their capacity to read to Laubach's teaching and his methods. It's stuff he's done out over 34 countries or so. God will invite us into a deeper, richer life as we engage in this. Let me commend it to you. Let me pray for you, and I'll be finished. Father, I thank you so much that we sit here as the children of God. We sit here as servants of a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who, beyond belief, wants to commune with us. Lord, any of this stuff I've said today that has not been helpful, I pray you'd wash it away. But God, what is going to be helpful for us, for me and for us, I pray you would cause it to sink in. And Lord, I pray for grace in these next hours and days that we might call forth remembrance of who you are. And we might tune our ear to what you're saying. And Lord, you might through that shape us and direct us and bring forth your work in our lives, in our families, our city, throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, can I send you out with a final word, a benediction? As we learn to stay awake to the reality of God's presence, may our increasing awareness of his actual presence in our actual lives convince us beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are loved and accepted by him as we are. Immeasurable worth in God's eyes. And may that confidence from trusting him lead us to a brand new place of surrendering our actual lives to him as well. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, and in so doing, may we experience transformation, abundant life, the renewal of our hearts and our minds. Amen. Grace and peace be with you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.